something like that. She got on the piano and this song came to her. Shout to the Lord. That comfort. You know, when you don't understand things, you don't know why things go the way they turn, but you can go to the Lord. I said, Lord, you are my comfort. Amen. Let's try that. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty's praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. Let's stand as we sing it again. My Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your... Oh, amen. Worship our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty's praise to our King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty's praise to our King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother Bob, you want to help us out, brother? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Service now, so we prepare our hearts, Lord God. I pray you'll bless the little tithes and offerings.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Return back to you, Lord. Bless us now.
Amen. Bless us and to fill our cup. Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, glory, come and quench this thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, oh, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and may glory with all your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite you, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, Lord God. Bless your people, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help our brokenness, Lord. Our ways, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no. Here's my cup, lift it up. And make me whole. Amen. You may be seated. Sister Alicia, you can get ready. Praise the Lord. You know, you just want him to fill you up. You know, I was writing the young brother, friend of mine, grew up in church in Maryland, and he's in prison. I was just writing him yesterday, and the Lord just put on my heart. I said, my goodness, you know, he was in the message, born in the message. I probably told it before, and ran out there and got in trouble and ended up murdering a guy. And he's been in prison, 36 years old. He'd been in prison for probably about maybe close to 18 years now. You know, and, you know, I said, my goodness, you know, we just look back and the brokenness, you know, that's what I was telling him. I said, as I'm over 40, I'm looking at my own life and seeing some of the brokenness, you know, maybe from my parents, the past that I didn't know it affected me. I thought I was strong. But, you know, we grew up in the message, you know, and to see my mom and dad, as some of the older ones who knew them, and they got divorced, and that has an impact on you. Right. You know, when you're in this word, this word that should be holding us together, you know, but I thank God because God's grace was over the problems that they had to pull us in. And now we're fighting with everything that we have. Amen. To live this out. And that's what the younger generation needs. They need to see a life lived by the grace of God. And it means we got to fight. Like Brother Wade was saying, we got to fight for every inch. We got to fight through our marriage, fight for our children, fight to manifest what God is saying to us. Amen. By his grace. And praise the Lord. And we're doing that one day at a time. So I know my wife wanted to sing that. Amen.
God bless you all. That's the only song that comes to my heart right now. It's one day at a time. I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Lord, help me believe what I can be. And all that I am, show me the pathway that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that is all that I'm asking from you. Lord, give me the strength to do everything that I've been called to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked amongst all kinds of men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you were looking below, it's much worse now than then. People are pushing and shoving. They're out of their minds. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking from you. Lord, give me the strength to do everything that I've been called to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that is all that I'm asking from you. Lord, give me the strength to do everything that I've been called to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time.
Praise the Lord. Amen. One day at a time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. You ready for the word? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart in this day, this one day that we're in. Let's ask God to open our hearts, bless our brother, use him as a vessel this afternoon. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, my Lord, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh, my Lord. I want to see you.
Good job, brother. Appreciate you.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him today?
Holy, holy.
Lifted up. When I think about that, you know what I think about? They hoisted my God up on a tree one time as an offering for me and you. He had to be high and lifted up. He had to be lifted up between heaven and earth. I love what Brother Brown said. Heaven didn't want him. Earth didn't want him. So he hung between heaven and earth. He couldn't go back to heaven because he had our sins on him. Couldn't come back to earth because we couldn't have died for sin. But he died between heaven and earth. So when I, that song means a lot more than just a song. It's high and lifted up. Those priests didn't know what they were doing when they were taking that offering and they would wave it. And then there would be a heave offering where they'd raise it up and down. The sign of the cross. Knowing that they would have to heave the Lamb of God up off of the earth so that he could hang between heaven and earth and take mine and your sins and be able, now we can enter in to the Holy of Holies. Now we can enter into heaven with no sin because he took our sin. He became sin that we could be what? Righteousness. And that's what we're looking today. We want to go further than just Brother Josh Bennett last night, or not before last one, whenever he was preaching, he was speaking on, in other words, I've been baptized, now what? Going beyond water baptism. Because we love to get everybody baptized. And like I said, we got all these people baptized. That's fine, but we got to go. That's just the beginning. That's just the start. That's just down at the bottom. That ain't even on the pyramids yet. That's way down below there under the foundation. All right? But what are we going to do? We're going to keep going on. We're going to strive and push and pull. And Brother Ernie used to say, well, if we don't have no teeth, we'll gum the devil to death. We'll hack him. We'll strike him. We'll hit him. We'll do whatever we can do. Because we know we're victorious. We know we win. He just don't know it yet. Bless his heart. But remember the ones coming back from the youth camp? Remember Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. On the 5th, there'll be no Bible study. we'll have a rehearsal here for the ones who are going to be in the wedding. Time changes next Saturday night. Change your clock back before you go to bed. November the 6th, which will be that Sunday, we have one service here. And Zach and Lily will be married at 4 o'clock that afternoon in Cumming, Georgia. If you don't have the address, then get it from Sister Monica or Brother Bob, or look on that, whatever that, Lily and Zach are getting married, blah, 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 whatever that says. So anyway, well, we've been announcing it enough. We're getting down now. It's crunch time. Amen. There will be no second service, obviously. And then Bob will be speaking for us on the 9th. The 13th will be, we'll have one service, and then we'll have our dinner. And if you have not talked to Sister June or Sister Esther, you need to talk to them about what to bring. The church is going to do the a couple of turkeys and some spiral ham, and then y'all will bring all the rest of it for I keep wanting to say condiments, but it's not, side dishes. All right, side dishes. So remember that. There'll be no second service that Sunday. It'll be the dinner. Then on the 22nd, there'll be church on Tuesday, on November 22nd. On the 20th, Brother Andrew Glover will be here with you, two services. And just remember these things. I know December's coming up, but remember the 4th. That will be our one service, and then we'll be going to the Hidden Acres to do our have our Christmas, annual Christmas dinner. So you love the Lord? And also remember, it won't be long. February the 11th, I think, we'll be doing having our Valentine's banquet. So wowie. Man, that's only 4 months from now. Less than 4 months from now. Good grief. Time flies. Thank goodness time's flying. I don't want it to be back. You know, when we were growing up, you'd say, boy, you're as slow as Christmas. You can't say that now. No. When I was a kid, Christmas came about every 3 years, Ruth, but now it comes every 3 months. So you can't say slow as Christmas anymore, because Christmas is fast approaching. We'll be here in just any moment now. So let's just remember these in prayer. Remember the ministers that are coming. Remember the ones that are coming back, Brother Boyd and Brother Luis and Brother Aaron are bringing the kids back. And we kind of got all that figured out, so everything's going well with that. And I'm glad they had a good time. I'm sure we'll have some good testimonies from them. They sang just a few minutes ago at the at the service. They sang a song. So we've been represented well this weekend. Brother Aaron and them has been, Brother Boyd and them have been keeping up with everything, Brother Luis. So we thank God that we can help them out shoulder to shoulder, helping to what? Forward the gospel to the youth. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time you've given us. We pray now that you would just set aside everything just for a moment of time so we can talk about you, Lord. And you do the one that speaks, Father. You be the one that as we study and look at these different things and different quotes and different scriptures, Lord, we pray that you've put them together and not man. Father, we pray that you'd just be with each one that's on the highways, Lord, with the weather being like it is. I pray that you'd touch each one, Father. Be with our youth, Lord, and continue to strengthen them and bring them up in admonition of the Lord. And, Father, I pray that you'd save the lost, Lord. Bring the ones, Lord, in that are sick, Lord. Sin sick more than anything, Lord. And heal the ones, Sister Gail and the different ones, Lord, that are sick. Sister Frieda and the different ones, Lord. We don't know everything's going on there. We pray that you'd just be with each one that's not here. A little bright around the world, Lord, we need you, Father. Be with the missionaries, Lord, and the different ones that are doing their work, Lord, in the Philippines, Jamaica, and different places. We pray India and all those, Lord, we think of them often. And we pray, Lord, that you would just be with them continually. Just bless us now and take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You saw that by Sister Chi-Chi. She was almost underwater there at her house because of the rain and typhoons, but the rain stopped. Rain stopped before it got in her house. Rain stopped. When the bride goes to praying, let me tell you something. Demons start going, they going, wow, what, hold on, hold on, hold on. What's going on here? We've never felt this kind of power before. That's the power that you and I have on the face of this earth today as the bride of Jesus Christ. There's no one has worked under an open book. You and I work under an open book. Not closed. It's an open book. And anything, any promise in this Bible is what? Available to the bride. Amen. It's available to each one of us. So let's start here. It's a little bit more of what we were doing this morning. And we'll talk a little bit about memories and conscious effects and imagination. Because that's where the devil plays. And that's where God actually does his work also. So let's read here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As we were talking about this morning, you are his glory. In other words, you are what? Remember, he was in John, was on the Isle of Patmos. He looked over in Book of Revelations. He heard the voice. He had heard that voice on earth. He knew it was the Lord Jesus, but was surprised when he turned and looked, and there was the Son of Man girt about the paps with a golden girdle in bride form. All right, and then John gets over into Revelation. He said, man, there's bride everywhere. He said, there's Revelations 19. We got people coming back. Then over here in Revelations 21 or 22, when the city comes down, and it looks like the bride. The bride's just everywhere. And the bride is a whole lot. Brother Dale's always said the bride's book is the Book of Revelations because it tells about us and our walk in life and our journey, how we got here, what we're doing while we're here, and when we're going home. And the future home that we're going to be in. So behold the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now listen, let me tell you something. Let's think about this the other day. If God said this, you're going to be his glory, you're going to be his victory, he's got to make a way that somebody does it. Yeah. All right, so he's going to make a way. He saw somebody by foreknowledge. He saw somebody do exactly what he said, and they made it. Amen? So therefore, somebody's going to make it. You can't say, well, I can't do that. Well, you're the only one stopping you. All right? So 1 Thessalonians 4 says, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You know, as we go through this statue of perfect man, when we get into the virtues, I want you to be able to, when you go into your life lesson, which starts on Monday, for those of us that work, your life lesson starts on Monday and continues on through until the next week, that you can say, man, that used to bother me, but that don't bother me anymore. That used to hurt my feelings, but that don't hurt my feelings anymore. I used to handle it this way, but now I handle it this way. To me, that's the renewing of your mind. That's the changing of what you were doing. And listen, what you've done all your life.
Right.
I'm 62. There's things I've done for at least 50 years that I'm not proud of. And some of them don't bother me, Sister Anna. And then the only thing that's bothering me is, you know, then your body starts bothering you, you know. Somebody told me one time, as you get older, you only worry about one thing. I said, what's that? He said, survival. Don't worry about the bills. Don't worry. What do you worry about? Worry about surviving. All right. As we get older, that's just the way it is. So listen, and that's what we got to worry about now, surviving. Surviving this world. Surviving this age, listen, even though we got the open book, it's the darkest age it ever was. There's never been the highest power of demons on earth. Now listen, I just told you that the highest power of the bride is on the earth today. But there's got to be someone to combat. That's where that greatest battle is. Because remember, it's too fat battling like this. And what? Whichever we feed is the one that wins. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated. What is the will of God? It's his word. So we're going to produce the word of God, but we're not going to produce it on paper. We're going to produce it in human flesh. All right. Now that's his John 1:1. I just read it. John 1:14. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right? So the first thing we got to do, over and over again, I want you to know that we got to be born again. If you're not born again, remember what we said this morning. That fountain that is flowing out of your soul is bitter. If you're not born again, there's not a trickle of this and a trickle of that, and you've got this seed down inside of you that's trying to... You're lost.
Right.
I'll read you a quote here in a few minutes. Brother Brown said, you were born in this world a sinner.
Right.
Lost.
Yes. Right.
He said, with no hope.
Right.
With no hope. So let's just keep it that way. I like it like that. That way I know I was lost and now I'm found.
Right.
That way I know I had no choice in this at all as far as what I saw. But I did have a choice, but I made that choice before the foundation of the world. God saw me make that choice. And he knew and had it what? I think I got to hear her back there. Brother Brown said, before the world was formed, this Bible was written exactly as it's written today. Because how can you change the word of God? You can't change the word of God. Once it's written, it's forever written in heaven. And it was in the mind of God exactly. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Us, John, Paul, Peter, all that was already foreknew by God and by foreknowledge. He knew exactly what we would do. And then what do we do in Ephesians 4:11? He would send us a fivefold ministry. He would send us a way to get this, not get it by ourselves, but a way to get it, what? Through human beings, because the seed life comes through the body, all right? Because what does the seed, if you've got the seed life inside of you, you can give it out. That's what we're talking about, virtue. You can't give that kind of godly virtue if you don't have it already inside of you. All right? Can't, because remember, it's like you trying to manufacture something. The blackbird sticking the peacock feathers in, you know, or the wolf in sheep's clothing. You're going to manifest being a sheep or a goat, one of the two, or a wolf. You might fool somebody sometime, but you're not going to fool God ever. Right. Ever going to fool God. All right? So right here's where we're at today. We're born again. We're coming up to a place to where now we realize we need these virtues in our life. We need this to do one thing, and that's show Christ. You don't want to show yourself. You don't want to show the preacher. You want to show Christ in you. Because remember, in the book of Ephesus, when you saw, the Bible says they were called first called Christians because they acted like Christ. It didn't talk about Paul. It talked about the church at Ephesus. The church folks. The church people were acting like Christ. So they were called Christians in Antioch. I believe, and not Ephesians, but Antioch. It was called Christians in Antioch because they act like Christ. All right? That's what we want to be affiliated with. Because remember, when you look at Christianity out in the world, I mean, it just has no moral. It just has no, it has no standard. You can do pretty much whatever you want to do. Right. We were driving by a few minutes, or this morning, and one of the churches there on the road coming up here, the girls were walking out of the fellowship halls away from the church, and here they come out, and one girl had like spandex workout drawers, pants on, whatever you try to call it, and she was heading toward church.
Right.
She wasn't going to the, she wasn't going to the, to the workout place, she was going to church. And it looked like she had just got up out of the bed and went to church. So there's no standard. You and I have a standard. Listen, God's not obligated to work through that. But he is obligated to work through this. If we live the right life, he's absolutely obligated to what? His word. All right? We fail miserably, but folks, we know there's one thing for sure. They don't have what we got. And I don't separate them. They're separating themselves. And God said, separate yourself from that. Now listen, he called them whores. He didn't have a problem calling them whores and prostitutes. Amen? So we shouldn't have a problem calling them that either. Now, not to people. The system. Love the sinner, hate the sin. All right? But that thing's wrong. That is a prostitute system working outside of this message of the hour, the true message of the hour, the true born-again believer, the true people in a message. I'm sorry. They're in a prostitute system. That's what the Bible says. The great whore and her daughters. All right? So everybody with me on that. I'm not talking about the people, but if they're caught in that system, what are they? They're that system. It takes people to make that work. But what it does, it took somebody to stand in the pulpit and say, oh, honey, it's okay. You can wear what you want to wear to church. Come as you are. Yeah. That's all right. You can come as you are one time, maybe twice. Right. But you'll never come back here. If you get something, you'll be changed.
Yeah.
You'll be able to walk and drive down the road and look at us standing outside and see a different set of people. Just by what we're wearing.
That's right.
Just by why we're not over there smoking in the, we ain't got a smoking section over here in the parking lot for the Baptists that smoke. They talk about the Methodists that drink and the Methodists talk about them that smoke. So here we go. But thank God for the truth.
Amen.
I thank God for the truth. Not that I stand up like the Pharisee. Don't ever stand up and say, I'm glad I'm not like that person. No, I say, Lord, without you, I'd be that person. Without you, I'd be in that system out there. Listen, without God, I wouldn't be in that system. I'd be in the devil's system way out yonder somewhere with no religion at all. And so would some of us. Then we talked about the paradox. I still enjoy about the what Brother Branham's talking about this. He's talking about to stand a decision, you know. It all works together for the good. What you do, it never hurt them, it loosed them. In other words, the fiery trials we have to go through, the fiery furnace that the three Hebrew children went through, they thought they were going to die. Actually, it loosed them from what they were. They were prisoners to what? A system that said you've got to stand and bow to this image, which is your friend. They thought, I mean, the king Nebuchadnezzar, probably when he said that, he said, "Oh, throw him in the fire." Remember? Then he comes up one day and he gets all mad and he says, if you catch them worshiping God, then put them in the lion's den. Well, the first person that went was his friend Daniel. Daniel had interpreted his dreams and he'd give him Daniel was a good man in the community. But the king couldn't take back what he said either. So he thought Daniel wasn't going to do that, but Daniel did. As Brother Brown said, he didn't just barely crack the windows. He threw them open. Amen. And he worshiped toward what? The temple. Right. There where where the worshiper was supposed to go. And he couldn't get there because remember he's in captivity. All right? But he still worshiped. Listen, even in captivity, they should worship God. So even in our captivity, we should be able to worship God. Right. Amen? In spirit and truth. All right, listen. Last story, Brother Brown talked about committing. Committing it to him. The greatest weapon that I know a Christian needs today or uses today is a committal to God. Commit it to God. Don't try to give it to me and God. Give it to God. Yeah. When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to him and God will take care of it. Now listen, as human beings, that's at least one of the hardest things you'll ever do. Yeah. Is take somebody you love with all your heart and commit them to God. Yeah. And then take your hands completely off of them. Right. And whatever happens, happens. As we were talking about this morning. If your kids get sick, it's hard not to pray for them. But what if God put that on them? What if God did that? What if he put it on them to drive them back? And here we're trying to pray for them to get it off of them. So the best thing to do is say, God, save their soul. Save their soul. I want their soul to walk in this door. I don't want just a person. I want their soul to walk in. I want that soul to say, I need to go. I need to change. Because that's where it's going to what? If they walk in here with just the same old bitter fountain. Right? No, you want them to come in here wanting something. You know what? They want your fountain. I hope. All right, remember, the greatest battle ever fought. We know where it's at. It's ready to go into action. God's been selecting his soldiers. Listen, this battle, the battle between Satan and death has never been won before. Yeah. Come on. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Jesus died. He died for me and you, but he died a human death. But you and I have got to come to a place that we don't die a human death. Listen, I was thinking back there a few minutes ago. We talk about defeating Satan. The only time Satan is going to be truly, totally defeated is when he's thrown into the lake of fire. But he's getting a temporary beating right now. Because we're going to beat him so bad in the millennium till he ain't going to have nothing. He's going to be like somebody that's walking around trying to find somebody to work through. Oh, I can't find this one. Man, what do you mean? Because remember, Satan's not thrown in a pit like this and he's going to be there for 1,000 years. No, I believe he's going to be there. He's going to be somewhere. He's just going to be held back by what? A chain of circumstances, the prophet said. And who is that circumstances? Me and you. You and I are the circumstance he can't work through. Amen? But now, right now today, as you sit today and as I stand here today, he is working. He's full well on the job at the moment. All right? But when we get in the millennium, we're going to have a body change. So what we're going to take and we're going to preempt that. We know the show and the stage is set for the millennium where he'll be chained and you know, not be, he'll be bound for 1,000 years, not be able to work in us. But folks, at the body change, he's going to be bound by us. and not be able to work in us anymore. The reason he's working now is because there's death still warring in our members, as Paul said. All right? Things I would not, I do. Things I do, would not. Paul had the same thing about you, same thing with me and you going up to your perfect man. He had the same problems. Things I would not, I do. Things I do not, I would. What was warring? His soul was the... If anybody was born again, Paul was born again. He wrote half the Bible. Or half, or more than half of the New Testament. So he had to have the new birth. Everybody with me?
Right.
Right? But he still had problems. He was a first church age messenger. He was a prophet. And he still had problems. The things I would not, I do. Things I do not, I would. There's a thing warring in my members. Paul, listen, Paul didn't have that problem when he was persecuting Christians.
Right.
No. He just said, and he was zealous. And what he was doing wasn't just Paul going, well, I think I'll get two or three today. No, he went after the whole church. If I didn't get the whole church, he figured he didn't have a good day. That's how zealous Paul was to get them people out of there. Oh, they're worshiping some false god, and they think Jesus was this. Oh, they just told me he was some old guy, you know, that they followed, and now he's dead. Boy, did he have a rude awakening. Did he not have an experience in that desert when God himself knocked him off of that horse and said, Paul, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. He's like, man, I'm done for. Jesus said, no, I did this because you're my first church age messenger. He didn't know that, but that's what God said. You're my first church age messenger. You're going to get this thing started. And you're going to save more people than you put in prison. Listen, Paul's words are still saving people now. That's Paul's doctrine. He said, you'll be judged by my doctrine. That was Paul's doctrine. And that's how we get saved, by that doctrine. So he's still getting people saved. That's how good a church age messenger he was. But Jesus said, listen, you know, Jesus is standing there one day in eternity, and he's going, if he can do that for the devil... You know, this would just be me and you. If he can do that for the devil, think what he can do for me. Think what he can do for me if I just change him a little bit. Knock him off his horse. He got knocked off his high horse. Amen? You ever been knocked off your high horse? It's not a real soft landing, I'll promise you that. No, you're going to hurt for days. But that's all right, thank God. At least God's the one that knocked you off the horse, not the devil. Amen? So I believe he's dressing us now. He's training us. What? He's training us how to take care of this life that we're living right now. Not past life. This life. This life right here. The life that I now live, Paul said. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Right now. So he's dressing and training us. The battlefront is set. Knew where it is. In the mind. We know that. It's the greatest battle ever fought. It begins in the human mind, and that's where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle. Where it was beginning is because that decisions are made from the mind. We'll get into that in just a minute with memory, reasoning, conscious effects, and imagination. Then there's the quote that we read every time. We're going to read it again. Listen, you have to suffer to reign. This is not a picnic. This is not the cruise ship. This is not the love boat. This is a USS Benjamin Franklin or whatever. The greatest big one was John F. Kennedy. This is USS John F. Kennedy. This is we're on the boat now that there's a fight every day. You wake up every day and it's like Pearl Harbor all over again. Amen? If it's not for y'all, pray for me, please. The reason is that character simply never is made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. In other words, God didn't give you this gift. You got to earn it. It's a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power, apart from this character, is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. Look, if it was purpose to the church, the life that was in Christ isn't reflecting in you. Don't you stand still until you haven't got patience, virtue, and all these things, brotherly kindness, and all these things that's required. So it's a requirement. Right, Richard? It's a requirement. Amen? If you didn't know it, you know it now. It's a requirement. This is required study. This is your curriculum from now till the day you pass away or we take a body change. And don't let up. Don't go third grade and say, no, I need to quit. No. Somebody's going to graduate. And the diploma they're going to get is a body change. That's your diploma. It's a body change. If you go by the grave before then, that's okay. But somebody's got to get us up out of the ground. Somebody's got to come to this perfection. And then we were talking about, hey, you know, it's all in your head. Well, this is where I want to show you where memory, reasoning, conscience, affection, and imagination, it all starts in your head. Right? You can't love with your stomach. Well, you can love to eat, maybe. But that comes from your mind. That comes from your stomach telling your mind, I need to eat. Right? What we always say, it has a mind of its own. No, it has one mind. It originates from one place. Right? It's not two or three different minds. No, we're not some kind of schizophrenic with several different, what do you call it, characteristics or several different ways. No, several different people. Several different people. No. You're either God or the devil, one of the two. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable, look, in all his ways. That's why you see people struggle when they're in that transition of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if they don't go on to the Holy Ghost, they'll be a double-minded person. They'll have just enough religion to be over here, right, and just enough of the devil to be right here. Yeah. But remember, if it's like what was Bob preaching the other day, right? A question that's not totally answered, in other words, is not true. It's false. Right? It's got to be complete truth. Because Eve got 99% truth from Satan. Not was included, and that's it. Thou shalt die, surely die. Thou shalt not, surely die. So a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's wavering, he's uncertain, he's doubting, he's divided in interest. What? He wants to serve God and he wants to serve the devil too. He wants to stay just in between so that he can do either one. You know, lean one way. And you can tell that because those people are in and out of church. They disappear. They come back. I'm sorry. That's double-minded. Because if you're single-minded, you'll come to church. Because the mind of Christ comes to church. All right? The mind of the devil gives you every other excuse to stay out. But the right mental attitude, I love what Brother Brown says about that, because it's not knowing the seals or knowing Daniel 70 weeks or the plagues or the vials at this moment we're talking about, but it's a right mental attitude. All right? It's like somebody said the other day, if we come to church begrudgingly, if we come to church because, well, if we don't, Brother Wade's going to say something about me, then don't come.
Right.
You got to want to go.
Yeah.
Sunday's our day to worship God.
Right.
Sunday's our day to come together.
Right.
One day. Wednesday too, but one day Sunday, we've dedicated. I was thinking the other day at work, I hear all of them around me, and some of them do go to church one service, but our postmaster, she's not a Christian lady, and she was telling them, well, Sunday I'm going to do this, and then she'll come back on Friday, and she'll say, well, Sunday I'm going to do this. Well, it ain't going to church. She's doing all of her work on Sunday, cleaning the house, cleaning the swimming pool out, washing the car. And you see what they're doing? They're substituting something for the desire to do something and knowing Sunday is a day set aside for God.
Right.
To me, I see that.
Amen.
To somebody else, you may not. It's like Terrence said one time, we was talking about having one service a Sunday or it came up a long time ago. And he said, some of y'all has already decided that. It's the truth anyhow.
Yes.
Now the right mental attitude, all you along here, he's talking about people in the prayer, fixing to be in a prayer line. Your right mental attitude toward God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. Don't let the devil know that. Always say, I've got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing of the devil. You know, we always said the devil made me do it. No, you did it. The devil might have helped you do it, but you're the one that did it. Because Satan can't physically. Now listen, I was thinking about this the other day too. When we come to the fullness of God, we are going to be the Son of Man on earth again, right? Yeah. When we take a body change, or when we get to the place of the resurrection where death is going to be destroyed by somebody saying, bride, come out of the ground. So Paul all the way to here. Satan is going to see that power. Don't tell me he won't. He's a powerful being himself. And he's a spiritual being himself. But there's no way that he can incarnate. Come on, somebody, listen. He can't incarnate the Pope while we're here. Because you don't know how. But he watches me and you. He sees how God takes over us and changes us. And he's going to literally step into that Pope and be the beast. Not part of the beast system. Right now, they're part of the beast system. He's going to be the beast. He's going to be Satan incarnate. Brother Brown said, I was reading the other day, Satan Superman. Is going to be that Pope. And he's going to do signs, wonders, miracles. They're going to believe him. And the whole world is going to fall down at his feet. But not me and you. We're going to be gone. Because you know what? God has incarnated a bride now. And took it out to our flesh. That fountain is going to so overflow until it's going to hit our body, and our atoms will change according to what's inside of you. Because right now you've got it all encapsulated. It's kind of like, you know, God's in there all cocooned up. We just got to let him out. Amen. You already got your body change inside of you. It's just what? What's stopping you? Your heart? If you're born again, your heart is not what's stopping you. It's what? Your memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. What you think is what's keeping us here. I say you, I mean all of us. So Brother Brown tells us here about what? How to know the will of God. Look, know the will of God. Make sure your objective and motive is right. Listen, the reason I'm reading this, our motive and objective is to be this. At this point, I want you to not say, well, I really want to learn Daniel 70 weeks. Well, I really want to know what them seven seals are. Forget about it until you get this. And you know what I understand? I'm trying to make it strong. I don't say forget about it. Don't throw your seal book away. Right. But put that seal book right here. But put that Statue of Perfect Man book right on top of it. Right. And read that first. Right. Amen? You can read the church age book. That's fine. That'll help you. But all these mysteries, we're not going to get the mysteries. Paul said you can know all mysteries. Right. And not have charity. Right. Which is the new birth. And you're just a blah, 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 blah. Sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But first know the will of God. And my objective is what? To glorify him. And my motive is to give him all the glory. That's what? The Statue of Perfect Man. If your objective is to make money for yourself, you'll never succeed. And trying to do something outside of the will of the Lord, it won't work to begin with. Wow. I'm just telling you what, Brother Brown. Everybody believe he was a prophet, right? I'm the same place. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you, Brother Ryan. Give me that. Show us the Father in 1963. Brother Brown said, look, now he's pretty strong words. I go on record. I say this about the word of God being a seed. And if you can take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise, he will bring it to pass. If you can get yourself in what? Position. What does teaching do? It positionally places you. That's why I said about this church, you should know where you're at all the time. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. But I do understand this. I do understand that. Maybe I don't understand Daniel 70 weeks right now. Maybe somebody will go over it again. But do you have brotherly kindness? Can you love somebody that hates your guts? Ain't there yet. Well, then don't get mad at the guy that cuts you off on the road. Brotherly kindness is not being kind to your brother that sits in this church. Well, maybe, yeah, that too. But it's loving those people that hate you.
Amen.
It's loving those people that despitefully use you. The ones that put you on a cross. That's the one you're supposed to love. And love them so much till nobody knows the difference.
Amen.
That's what Brother Branham, that's what Brother Paul said. I didn't know who was Daddy's enemies, and I didn't know who his friends were. He treated them all the same. Now, I believe Brother Branham knew who they were, but they see that didn't change his attitude none whatsoever. Like I said this morning about God, God knew before the foundation of the world we'd fail or pass.
Right.
But he sent his son down here to die for everybody anyway.
Right. Yes.
He died for all, but he knew all wasn't going to take it.
Right.
He knew those 2 million people going through, it'd take them 40 years to go 12 miles. And he fed them, clothed them. Give them all kind of protection. But he knew only two was going to make it. But yet he what? He gave them a chance.
Right.
He gave me and you a chance, didn't he?
Amen.
According to his divine power, he hath given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Whereby given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. That's what we've been talking about, the new birth. And then the Bible says, and besides this, giving all diligence, that means haste, earnestness, earnest in accomplishing, striving after anything, interest oneself most earnestly. So I said, don't worry about the seals right now. Don't worry about the plagues in the vials. Don't worry about what we're going to eat in the millennium. Don't worry about what's going to go on in the millennium or what's going to go on in the future home. The marriage supper. That'll all come. We want to be able to help. Listen to what I'm saying. We want to be able to be a help to God now.
Yeah.
And you know God don't need any help.
Right.
But he does want to work through you.
Right.
Amen. So let's focus on that. So add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. That word add means minister. Minister nourishment. So we're what? We're being ministered to faith. We've been ministered virtue and knowledge and temperance. We've got to get it by the ministry. As I said before, you may get born again listening to a tape, but you will not go up this statue of perfect man without a fivefold ministry. I'll promise you that. That's thus saith the Bible. That's what the Bible said. For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the ministry. Till we all come to what? Perfection. That we be not babies anymore.
Right. Yeah.
A person of virtue makes the progression from knowing what is right to doing what is right. We don't want to be a knower. We want to be a doer.
Amen.
Amen. I know about this message. I knew about this message when I was 14 years old. But I didn't do anything about it. I did not do anything about it. Neither did you until you. There's no way to do anything about it until you get born again.
Right.
No way. You cannot do anything about it until you get born again. You get born again, then we can start working. Then God can start working on you. All right? So these virtues are given to us what? For an energy. To me, it supercharges. It not just charges. If you're born again, you're already charged. But this supercharges you. Because remember, what does God want? God wants to adopt you. To give you the checkbook, not give you the checkbook with his name already on it. He wants to give you the checkbook and says, Bob, whatever you need, you write the check, but you sign it.
Amen.
Well, he's not power without character.
Yeah.
He'll write the wrong check. Power with character, he'll write the right check. You know why? Because he'll have the mind of God. He'll not have the mind of man or be double-minded. He'll have the mind of God to be able to write the check for what somebody needs or what he needs. All right, you're not going to go out here and be able to move a mountain. You're not going to go out here to Blue Ridge Mountains and say, I want y'all to move to Arizona. No, that's frivolous. That's power without character.
Yeah.
But if you need a mountain moved in your life,
yeah,
if you need to get around something, then
yeah,
guess what? Speak the word.
Amen.
Here we talk. This is where we was at this morning. Talking about affecting your senses. What is your senses? Memory, reasoning, conscious imagination, and affection. Remember, the center realm of you is where the fountain is. The center realm, I said C-E-N-T-E-R, not center. If you're not born again, that is your center realm. All right? But center realm of you is where everything comes out. Everything starts from deep down inside of you. Every well that ever was dug starts from deep down inside and pushes its way up. Same way with me and you. And you can't have bitter water and sweet water out of the same well, right? We already know that. So you can't have the new birth and not have the new birth. You either you do or you don't. I mean, you can't have half. Sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes it's bitter. No. No. So let's talk about this just for a minute. They don't have this in the bag. I pulled it off the, I got off the internet. The word memory means the faculty by which the mind, look, stores and remembers information. The faculty by which the mind stores and remembers information. It also remembers something from the past because you can't remember the future. Anyway, hello somebody. You can't remember the future. You remember the now and the past. That's why God knows the future and the past. And if you got the mind of Christ, then you can tap into that and know the future. Brother Branham tapped into it, saw the future. Paul stepped into it, saw the future. John definitely stepped into it and saw the future. Yes. Amen? So you can do that, but a normal human being can't do that. They can't predict the future. That's why Brother Branham, that's why he was so used of God and not used of man. He was used of God to be 100% right in telling people's future. 100%. You know why? Because he saw it by a vision. He saw him there. The man with the green checkered shirt. Brother Billy, Biscoe was in that vision for an hour and a half before he looked down and realized he had on a green checkered shirt. He had to fall in the water. You know, if you ever heard the story, you're going to see it again, how miraculous it was. Because what happened was Brother Biscoe and Brother Branham were hunting. Brother Branham said, remember, I saw the green checkered shirt, the man with little hands. Well, now, Brother Biscoe was a young boy then, had little hands. But he saw a great man with the green checkered shirt, didn't see his face. So Brother Biscoe takes him out hunting. Well, Brother Biscoe is jumping across the stream and falls in the water. Gets his clothes wet. He goes back to the tent, rumbles through the tent, rumbles through his stuff, and his wife had put that green checkered shirt in there. He didn't even know it. Because it's dry, and it was a flannel shirt. He picks it up, puts it on, goes back out. They go hunting. Brother Branham even doesn't notice anything about it. He shoots to whatever it was, the caribou or the bear or whatever. And when they look, Brother Brown looks down, he said, this is that vision. And he looks up and Brother Biscoe's going, I got the green checkered shirt. How'd that happen? Brother Brown saw it in a vision. He literally saw the future happen, and it happened exactly the way he said it was going to happen. That's why now listen. You say, well, that was just for Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, we are prophetic people. With prophetic insight. We may not be able to see exactly why and how they're going to take our money away and we can't buy or sell. But I promise you, if you don't have the Word of God planted inside of you, it ain't going to matter whether you know how to figure out to get around it. That's one thing that I just can't stand. I can't stand people that says, well, if this don't work, I got this. You know, if I don't make a rapture, in other words, I ain't going to live right. But just in case I want to, that's a double-minded man. In case I do, I'm going to put me up a little bit of gold. That's what I was telling you about that guy that had the little gold bars that were 1 ounce, which is like $1,300 or $1,500. How are you going to take that to the grocery store and say, give me a loaf of bread? You're going to pay $1,500 for a loaf of bread. Because they're not going to sit there and shave off enough to buy you a piece of bread with. So it's kind of it's silly to try to figure out how to make it. I don't want to make it through the tribulation. I do not. So I don't want to worry myself with thinking about what I would do if I made it through in the tribulation.
That's right.
Get the born again experience, folks, and you ain't got to worry about it.
That's right.
Get born again, you don't have to worry about it. All right, memory. Our memory is what kills us. What we think about. Our memory of the things that we used to do. Remember, we have to ask forgiveness of the things we used to do, not the things we're fixing to do.
Right?
Amen. You know, we've heard preachers pray for stuff like that. And I just don't believe it. I don't believe that you can pray for something you ain't ever done yet.
That's right.
It's just not true. That's just kind of like the Catholic Church, you know, coming, you saying, okay, I'm going to kill somebody tomorrow. And so, okay, pay whatever, $50,000, and you're good. You're absolved, or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Sister Anna knows what it is. But that's foolishness. You ask forgiveness for what you've done. And then what we have to do is, then if our memory, if it affects, listen, if this affects our memories and conscious effects and imagination, then you got to let God change your memory to the good.
Right.
And when Satan brings that memory, which he can, you cast it out.
Amen.
Like I said before, how many times did we sit around and just think about stuff in our past? Why do that? I'm not even one that sits around and go, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I mean, I know sometimes you do. You say, man, if I'd have made that choice, I could have had a lot more money. You know what? You may not have been sitting in this church either.
Right.
Hello?
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Boy, if I'd have married so-and-so. Yeah, you'd been over there with so-and-so. Amen? You wouldn't be here. But take your memory and remember the good things. Remember what God's done for you. Satan can't stand for you to tell him what God's done for you. Because he hates that, because he can't do any good for you. It's always bad. Everything he does is bad to you. You and me. Amen? So now let's take reasoning. Oh boy, this is a good one. The action of thinking about something in a logical, sensible way. All right, listen. The action of thinking about something in a logical, sensible way. That's okay. That's what the Bible says. Come, let us reason together. In other words, take the facts and bring them together. Not reason on something you don't understand. Example was, he explained the reasoning behind his decision of a media conference. See, God does the same thing. He says, come, let us reason together. But what does he do? He brings us to truth. So there's our standard. Everybody with me?
Amen.
That's the standard. When God brings you something to reason on, he's got the truth.
Yeah.
That's this right here. What you've got to do is reason out in your mind, not if it's right or wrong, it's whether you can do it or not.
Right.
Or whether you want to do it or not.
Right.
Come on.
Amen.
Boy, you hate that, but that's okay. You know, maybe you read in the Bible you weren't supposed to wear pants, but you did for a long time, you sisters. We brothers did things that we read in the Bible maybe when we were a kid that we didn't believe because we did them already. We went and did them anyway. Amen? But now that you have the new birth, see, it's not that fountain. It's pure water coming up. And you're reasoning on the Word of God. You're not reasoning whether should I drink a beer today or tomorrow. Should I drink early or should I drink late? Everybody with me?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Those of you that didn't drink, put whatever's in that little spot, put it in there, okay? It doesn't matter. Whichever one you want to do. Smoke pot, dope, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Put it in there. But you did it anyway. We reasoned on the things of the world. Now we reason on the Word of God. Not reason whether it's right or wrong. Reason whether we can connect ourselves to it.
Amen.
Everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
You reason whether you can connect yourself to that.
Yeah.
Action of thinking about something in a logical, sensible way. Brother Branham, that quote where he says, what? Excuse me. He says, the right mental attitude. That's reasoning.
Yeah.
The right mental attitude. Listen, you're sitting here with the disease. They were sitting in that auditorium, maybe couldn't get out of the wheelchair because they had cancer or whatever. It's real. But when Brother Brown says the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring that promise to pass, you've got a reason that man's telling you the truth. Because
yeah.
In that service, I believe it was that service or another service I was reading on, where there was a woman that was in a wheelchair. She said, he said, lady, if you stay in that wheelchair, you're going to die.
Yeah.
If I were you, I'd get out of that wheelchair.
Yeah.
So she had to use her what? Her reasoning. To reason that man's telling her the truth.
Amen.
That the promise of God was right.
Amen.
Same way with you and me on anything we do. We got to look at the Word of God, just like Brother Brown said.
Amen.
Look, see if it's the will of God. Motive and objective. Listen, that woman wanted to get better.
Right.
Anybody that can sit in a I couldn't sit in a wheelchair all my life. I'd want to get up. I'd want to find a way to get up. That's why they went to these meetings. They wanted to see the healer.
Yeah.
Amen? We know Brother Brown wasn't the healer, but you know what? They went to the right fountain. They went to the right fountain to get their healing. They reasoned that this guy had a what? Had a connection with God. The centurion reasoned. He didn't know that maybe didn't know that Jesus was a Messiah, but he knew that guy had a power, a connection that he'd never seen before. He said, "You just speak the word." He took all what? His old reasoning that he said, "I'm a man of power. He's a man of power. If I tell somebody to go left, they go left. If he tells that disease to leave, it'll leave." Now he just, that was his reasoning. That's the reasoning we've got to use. Memory, reasoning goes together. Because what does our reasoning, what is it depending on? What we remember. If you've never read this Bible, you can't reason on it. But if you've read it, you can take your memory. See how these are all connected. You take the memory of you reading John 3:16, and you can reason that that's right. And you can say, "Well, God, you said this, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of my wheelchair, or I'm going to get out of the situation that I'm in, or I'm going to take virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness, and I'm going to live them. I'm going to let it be a part of my life." Amen. Remember, doors and doors. You got to let God in that door.
Right.
Everybody with me? You got to let God in that door.
Right.
You can keep that door shut, and he'll never do nothing. Remember, he just knocks. Because the doorknob's on the inside. All right, memory, reasoning. Let's go to conscious. Real quick. The question was, does every human being have a conscious? Listen to the reason of this. The reasoning of this. The concept of conscious, as commonly used in its moral sense, is the inherent ability of every healthy human being to perceive what is right and what is wrong.
Amen.
You're conscious. Right? On the strength of this perception, to control and monitor and evaluate and execute their actions. Let me read that one more time. Because it's good. The inherent ability of every healthy human being to what? To perceive what is right and what is wrong, and in other words, know what to do about it. Remember, go by your conscience. Go with your conscience. People say, go with your conscience. What is it? You're taking your memory and your reasoning and you're putting it all together. And you're kicking out the bad, you're putting in the good for us. But you know what we did when we were sinners? We kicked all the good out. We didn't care about the Bible. We didn't care what the Bible said about what we could, what we should do and shouldn't do. We did it anyway. Because we had no what? The fountain that was coming up was dirty water. So we just stayed dirty. So it's perceive what is right and wrong. And on the strength of this perception. All right? Is everybody with me? On the strength of this perception. What do I perceive? But you know, that lady said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." She used her memory, which took her back to where mama taught her that there was going to be a Messiah. Everybody with me? Wake up just a minute. Everybody's with me. They took her memory back to "we know." When you say "no," that means memory. We know that Messiah will come and do this. All right? You with me? Her reasoning was, he told her who she was, how many husbands she had had, and she wasn't living with her husband at that point.
Right.
Her reasoning was, that guy must be the Messiah. And through her consciousness, she made that statement.
Right.
I perceive that you're a prophet. What are you saying, Brother Wade? You got to know and perceive that you're being told the truth.
Right.
Bible, prophet's message, preaching of the gospel. You got to perceive. You got to what? In your conscience. You remember what your conscience, you know, somebody says, does your conscience bother you? Right? You've heard since, doesn't your conscience bother you? Well, it did in the bad things, but now also in the good things. Because people are going, why do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you have to go to church every Sunday? I don't have to go to church every Sunday to be a Christian. I thought, what Bible you reading? What Bible you reading? Your memory must be something wrong with it. You've got a flu stopped up somewhere that it's a requirement for Christians to go to church. Boy, it got quiet. Didn't he get one amen out of that? Wow. One more time. It's a requirement for Christians to go to church. Part of the curriculum. I want y'all and everybody on the internet that's watching in to just think about 1 minute. Were you better off in that wishy-washy stage? Or are you better off now when you know that you know that you know? Oh, well, everybody woke up now. I mean, really? Come on, think about it. Because it's like a storm over here on this side. And you didn't know where he was going to hit you from. But at least now with a moral compass, a memory, a reasoning, conscious, we're over here going, this is for my good. This is my battle. This is for me to fight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm heading toward a fiery furnace that's hit seven times. It's heated seven times more. And I'm heading toward it. And all it's going to do is burn my fetters off of my arms. Wow. Amen. To me, that's that moral part that now the water's pushing up, the good water, and we're getting it. We're getting that part. I mean, listen, you hear as well as I do every day about how people are struggling out there in the world, much less Christians. I mean, listen, Anna and them, she knows one thing for sure. We're in the 21st century, right? Yeah. Walmart's stacked full of stuff. We got so much stuff in our freezer. Well, Mama might have to invite you over. I'm not going to, but she can invite you over there. But she's got so much stuff in the freezer, we have to take and push it shut like this and lock it like this. All of us do. But there's people that when they had COVID, during COVID, when the kids couldn't get to that's the only meal they had. Yeah. This is 21st century. Yeah. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
What a shame. You know why? Politics.
Right. Exactly.
Politics. You say, no, it's because it's all politics.
Right.
A kid's not going to get a meal because he can't go to school. I thought going to school you learned. When I went to school, I knew I was going to get a meal, but I had to pay. Well, Mom and Daddy had to pay for it.
Right.
And when I was going to school, folks, it was probably a quarter a week. So what?
Yeah.
It may be $5 a week or now or whatever it is, but we got fed a meal.
Yeah. That's
right. Same way with here.
Yeah.
Are we starving to death and have the greatest meal that's ever been given us? Whose fault is it? Ours. It's our fault. It's those poor kids' parents' fault that won't go to work. Not for the government to give them their food. Okay? But you know, remember, though, that's the mentality. That's the mentality. I mean, they're giving free meals now more than they ever have, right? Free breakfast. I got free breakfast, but Mama cooked it. Let me tell you something. I'm not an advocate of this, but you kind of need to be home when your kids get ready to go to school, because we were never sent to school with a Pop-Tart and a Coca-Cola.
Right.
Mama, were we? Ever. That's why it's her fault I have to eat breakfast every day. You know why? She fed us breakfast every day. About 9 o'clock in the morning, if I don't have something in this 55-gallon drum of mine, I get sick. I do. I get swimmy-headed and all that because she fed us breakfast. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No break on Saturday. Saturday and Sunday, she fixed us hot food. Terrence, Anna, hot food. Mama, she knows that. We had toast, bacon, eggs, grits. Oh, best grits in the world. Grits. And all that. And like I said before, that wasn't, well, I just don't feel like getting up today, so I'm going to just send my kids to school with a Pop-Tart and a glass of water. If you do, that's your business. but or nothing. Well, see, that's what they're doing. I'm heading to that. Now it's nothing. They're depending on the school to feed their kids. Are we depending on?
Come on.
No, we got to work for this. God's not going to bring it to you and just hand it to you. He is not a social program. This is a fight. This is a fight to the death. And we're either going to win or lose. Everybody with me? So in our consciousness, we need to be conscious that we've got everything we need. We've got a mama that'll cook us hot meals. And it's called the Holy Ghost. Amen? Everybody with me on that? That was a little life lesson there, but that's how we grew up. We didn't grow up depending on somebody else to feed us. Right? We got fed ourselves. We went to school and learned. Supposed to learn. See, that's the way it was before. You learned how to do that to your kids. So you could make enough money to where this, where you could feed them three square meals a day or ever, or a couple at least. But man, I tell you, they wasn't no government cheese program when we was growing up. And all that stuff, wasn't it, Mom? Wasn't none of that. No. Daddy worked. Got the eggs. We might have had chicken or two. We had a pig. We killed it. Jerome, bless his heart. Don't ever name your animals if you're going to kill them. I still think about that boy now. See, it's in my memory. I'm sorry. It's just really in my conscience. I'm going to cry. But don't name your animals if you're going to eat them. Okay? Just don't do that. All right? But what are we depending on? Are we depending on just sit anywhere we want to and God's just going to throw it out there to us? No way. You're going to fight for every inch. Like I said before, Brother Ram said, you'll fight for every inch. Not mile. Not foot. Not yard. You're going to fight for every inch. Inch. That's little. Minute things. But where are we going to get fed? We're going to get fed where the food is. Just like we knew when we got up, didn't matter what morning it was, Mom was cooking breakfast for us. Cooking breakfast. Not Pop-Tarts or giving us a Snicker bars or whatever it is and sending us out the door with a, what do you call them things? The juice, little juice thing you stick to. Juice box. No. We ate there at work, at school, I mean at home, and then we went to school. All right? There wasn't none of this grabbing and going. I don't know where that come from, but bless your heart. It was my memory coming back of the good old days. But is that what we're doing now, though? We're depending on God to just give us everything? He's got it there for us. But we got to get it. And in our conscience, we got to know. Like that woman at the well, she knew in her conscience, we know when Messiah comes, he'll do these things. We know that when the Holy Spirit comes in the end time, he's going to do this. This is what he's going to do. He's not going to do Wesley or do Luther or do even Pentecost back in the 1906. No, he's going to do what? Present day word. He's going to give us manna, fresh manna every day. And listen, you got to know where it's at. Because remember, even though God rained manna down to the children of Israel, millions of pounds it had to be. To feed 2 million people. Yeah. It had to be millions of pounds that he rained out of heaven. They had to go pick it up. Right. They didn't wake up and open the fridge and, man, there's all my manna for the day. No, you had to, what? Come on, Mom. You had to pick that manna up. Every day. Except on Sunday or on Saturday at that time. So what are we doing? We got to be conscious to know where God is and what God's doing. Yeah. Amen? Everybody with me? Amen. All right? Imagination. What is the meaning of imagination? The act or power of, look, forming a mental image. Oh, boy. Of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. Creative ability, in other words. I imagine that tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do so-and-so. How many times have you said that and it never worked?
Right.
Or you stayed up half the night or half the day worrying about something that never came to pass the next day. That's your imagination working. Because you know what? It wasn't real to begin with. It never was real. Never was real to begin with. It was all fabricated in your brain. Amen? So God doesn't have an imagination. He doesn't think of something and it don't come to pass. When he thinks, it comes to pass. That's the difference in us and him. He doesn't have to think about something and say, I better not do it that way. I better do it another way. No. When he thinks it, it comes to pass. So listen, hold on a minute. You say, that's God. We must have the mind of Christ. To know that when Jesus, 4 days before Lazarus died, saw Lazarus die. Brother Brown said he saw a vision. 4 days before, he saw Lazarus die. Amen? That wasn't an imagination. That was reality. Because it was a vision. Do you and I know that if we pick up the vision of this message, come on now, people. If we pick up the true vision of this message, it's not an imagination. It's a reality. Because this message, because look, hold on a minute. You go out to the Baptist church and you listen to them, they're going to preach you a good sermon. I believe they do. They're trying to get people saved. They're not just out there trying to fill in space. They're trying to get people saved. But they're doing it with an imaginary word. The Holy Ghost never baptized anybody in the titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's an imagination of man's mind. That God, thank God, he winked at the ignorance of man to let them do that until the truth came. But once the truth came, what happened? They did away with it. No, we're not having that. So what did God do? He sent us a prophet to line us back up, to get us started straight again. And what did they do? They fell backwards. We kept going. They fell backwards into the denominations. Listen, if a preacher gets up here and says, hey, it's all right to marry 3 or 4 times. It's all right to wear pants. It's all right to wear makeup. Where's he getting that from? He's getting that from an imagination of his own mind. Or the imagination of somebody that put in his mind. Because that didn't come from God. So this is not an imaginary message. So we need to cast down this imagination that we can get it by not doing this, or we can get it because of doing this, and it's not the will of God, and it's not the word of God. All right? So the true meaning of imagination, the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. In other words, it never came to pass. And you can formulate it in your mind. How this is going to happen? I know Regina just got a new car. So she formulated in her mind she's going to get a car. Right? She imagined driving a Porsche. Yeah, see what I mean? She imagined getting in a Tesla. New car smell. No gas to pump. I just got to plug that thing in. That's an imagination of her mind because she's never going to get one. Right? Well, no, but... You didn't, right?
Not this time.
Okay. But we always imagine these things that never come to pass, like I'm saying about. But you can't do that with the word of God. You can't imagine. That's why now, listen, let's come back and get the ship back together again. That we do have to have the right words or the right doctrine of Daniel 70 weeks, of the seven seals, and of all these different doctrines that man has what? Put their own imagination in. Brother Branham never came and gave us an imaginary message. Put your faith on that. Nothing he spoke was imaginary. It was the mind of God. It was bringing us back to cast down reasoning, cast down imagination. Everybody okay with that? Let's get one more and then we'll take communion. We'll get to this sometime later on. What's the meaning of affection? A feeling of liking and caring. A feeling of liking and caring for someone or something. It's fondness. A moderate feeling or emotion. That don't sound like agape love. Sounds like filial love. Remember all the different loves? There's lust and then affection for your, you know, I can, me and Anna can hug each other because we're brother and sister. But I can't hug Sister Anna that way, this Sister Anna that way, right? Or any of you other. Why? Different kind of love, different kind of feeling. An emotion is going to come into view, right? Everybody with me on that? So the affection that we have in that, listen, the affection, this is where it's a paradox. The affection that we have in the center realm, the soul, is agape love. God, the love of God, right there. What runs around in our memories and conscious affection, imagination is filial love or lust or whatever else that is. Eros and all those different other kind of loves. That's not in your soul. If you're not born again, yeah, it is all that filth. Really? Yes, it is. Because don't tell me that Satan has agape love. He's a destroyer. If he's in your soul, you don't have agape love. You have filial love. Listen, there's plenty of people that got married, love each other, and would just live together for 100 years and never have the new birth. But that's only filial love. That will not get them to heaven. It will not get them to heaven. And you see people, and praise God that people can stay together a long life, you know. Mom and Dad, me and June, several ones around here, 40, 50 years together, 60 years together. That's good. But without agape love in your life, you're not going to heaven.
Right.
You're not going to make it. Sorry. Right. What did Brother Brown say? The angel told him, the only thing that will get you here is what? Perfect love, which is agape love, not filial love. Because look, filial love has ups and downs. Right?
Right?
Agape love does not have ups and downs. The ups and downs you have is because of you.
Right.
The ups and downs I have is because of me. It's because I do have filial love around that agape love. And we'll talk about that maybe next Sunday. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a difference. There's a big difference in filial love and agape love.
Right.
Big difference. And I don't want to break it down so much maybe later on. But this affection we're talking about here is liking and caring. Now, if you take that liking and caring, though, and you put agape love in that very center realm,
yeah.
Right.
Look how it enhances.
Yeah.
Look how it enhances the filial love.
Yeah.
Listen, you can never have agape love for your wife. Brother Brown will tell you that. You only have agape love for God.
Yeah.
Filial love is between me and June.
Yeah.
Everybody with me? I can't have that same emotion to Jesus Christ, because you know what? He's number one.
Right.
She's number two. He's number one. She's number two. So you have agape love, which is the love of God in your soul. Then it works its way out. And we'll get to this later on. Let everybody stand to our feet. All these memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, they all are intertwined with each other. And they're all in that middle realm of you. Everybody with me? So now if you're born again today, you have agape love in your soul. It's locked in there. You're sealed until the day of your redemption. You're not just going to heaven. You're bride. I mean, it's going to be a lot of people not bride in heaven. But you're going to be bride. And you're going to have agape love. And somewhere in there, even if you have to go by the grave, that's going to what? Break forth and change this thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because the love of God, listen, the love of God is what changes your body. Because he loved you so much, he died in his.
Yes.
To make sure you didn't have to in yours. Oh, praise God. What a plan of redemption. In a human being, that's why most human beings can't fathom how that God that didn't need nobody, that was eternal, that didn't even need a molecule to breathe by, he decided to come down here and decided to die for me and you and go through the heartaches and trials that we went through and grew up as a man, from a baby to a man, and then died on the cross. and then came back. And now that's the mystery. They don't know where he's at now. But we know the mystery. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We appreciate the time that we have, Lord. Now as we go into another part of the service, Lord, the communion, I pray that you sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. Father, forgive us of our mistakes and sins, Lord, that we do against you, Lord. Lord, help us to be more like you. Give us, Lord, let that agape love just move its way to the outside, Lord. Let us not keep it bottled up, Lord. Let us be able to show. We know the world. We know the world for a fact shows the worst kind of love. It's just sloppy and they whatever they want to do in the world, it's just not good. But, Lord, you gave us agape love. The love of God that shed abroad in our hearts. Not to be where we go out and commit adultery every day or we go out and sin like that in our body every day. Lord, you've given us a moral compass. You've given us something to what? You give us something to live by. These five senses can be lived right or they can be lived wrong. Lord, it's just a choice that we make as a free moral agent. We didn't get to read that, Lord, but the prophet of God tells us we're we're free moral agents even after we're born again. So our free moral agency will tell whether we can climb this ladder that Jacob saw in his vision of angels ascending and descending up into heaven, that the statue of a perfect man can be lived, a living, breathing instrumentality of God. That's what the prophet told us. And I believe that was you talking to us, telling us that. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us in the furtherment of the service. Be with the ones, Lord, I think maybe they're probably on their way back from camp. Lord, I pray that you'd give them traveling mercies and be with them, Lord, and keep them safe. Be with us in the furtherment of this service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll read. We'll start there again on next Sunday. Brother Luis will be speaking this coming Wednesday night. And I hope that helps us. It'll help us to realize. Because, listen, there's one thing for sure. when we go through life, Brother Dale's not right there with us the whole time. All right? He's not right there beside of us. But now what he spoke is.
And that's right.
What he preached is.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? That's what Julie Kranz was telling us the other day. She said, sometimes we see ourselves quoting what Brother Dale quoted from the pulpit,
right.
from years ago. You hear us quoting that to other people. Well, that's not Brother Dale physically being there, but that if the words he spoke were eternal life, then that's what was standing there.
That's
what we're Brother Branham. The words he was speaking to us was eternal life. That's why we speak it, Brother John. That's why we have confidence in 1,100 sermons. I can pull up in this computer, I can pull up something that Brother Branham said and have confidence that that's what God said. Right? If you don't, then you need to hit the altar. We all do. You need to have confidence in something. But I have confidence that the word's right. I was wrong at one time against the word of God, contrary. But then when he brought the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost said, hey, read them 1,100 sermons again. Again. Read the Bible again. With a different set of eyes. With a different what? With a different memory. Different reasoning. Different conscience. Different affection. The Bible says, set your what? Affections on things above. Not down here. This can get into all kind of, it's just gooey down here. Everybody wants that free love and, you can just do this and do that. Well, it don't matter. You can do. It's just your old body. Yeah, it's just your old body, but it's controlled by that thing deep down inside of you.
Yeah.
Amen? Because
the
things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Why? Because you've been changed. I've been changed. I'm a new creation, a brand new man. Why? That man is the one that's talking to us now. That man's the one that's pushing the fountain up, pushing the water up. And now our fountain is what? Pure water. Let's go into communion. 1 Corinthians 11, if you want to read with me. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night, in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. You know, you look back up there, it says, in remembrance of me. Those disciples remembered that night. And when Jesus came back on the day of Pentecost and filled them with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says they broke bread. In other words, they took communion a lot. They remembered that night. He said, you'll remember what you've done. You probably don't know what you're doing now, but you'll remember what you've done this night. And this is a New Testament in my blood. In other words, you're New Testament disciples. You're not Old Testament disciples anymore. You're new. When I come back on the day of Pentecost, it's a New Testament. It's a new way of doing things. Not like it was before. Not the old way made over either. The New Testament. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto the condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. The Corinthians were just eating food and drinking and getting drunk at the communion table. That's why Paul said, don't do that. You go eat at home. You're not going to do that in a sanctuary. This is sacred. This is something that we set aside from just eating and drinking. You can go do that at home if you want to, but don't do it here. That's what he was saying. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So when he came back to Corinth, the second Corinthians, they had it straightened out. So it took the word to straighten them out. It took a preacher. Amen. So let's tarry just for a moment and pray one for the other. And just remember our pastor, different ones, Lord, that's going through different situations, Lord, that you'll be with them. We ask your blessings, Lord, and further in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He took bread and blessed it. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this bread. We know it's been made with holy hands. And Lord, it's just a simple recipe, Father. So I pray that that simple recipe will now go into our hearts, Lord. And it'll become part of us. That this simple recipe, Lord, not something complicated, Lord, but it's a simple gospel. That believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Lord, I pray that you'll save all of us, Father. Forgive us of our sins. Save us from ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I want to be saved from me.
Amen.
Amen. Get saved from ourself. Y'all, excuse me. Pray for my my voice. Well, it's my throat. It just tickles. I don't have any kind of junk in it. It's just tickling. I like when Brother Branham went to somewhere he went for an examination, and they examined his throat. He's wondering why his throat was so scratchy. And the doctor told him, he said, well, you got calluses on your vocal cords. He said, praise God. He said, Lord, let me have some more. If I'm going to do it for you, let me have some more of those. I mean, if I'm going to have calluses, you might as well have them either on my knees or in my mouth, one of the two. Excuse me. Dear Lord Jesus, this wine, Lord, has also been made with holy hands. It's been prepared in a way, Lord, that it gets stronger and stronger, just as your word. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we listen to a tape, Lord, or fellowship around you, Lord, the word of God gets stronger, Lord. I pray that you just be with us and sanctify us for this journey that we're on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. Boy, you feel that way sometimes, huh? And I question, oh, Father, how long? Then I take one more look. What, we go back to Calvary? Okay, and what he did for us there. Nothing compared to what we're going through. The strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk. When it's all over and done with. Be the greenest green you ever seen. Be the bluest blue skies you've ever seen. It'll be the greatest thing you just eye has not seen. We just don't know. We go outside and we look at that dreary. I know we need rain, but you look at that dreary day. But I'll promise you, right above that cloud, sunshine. Right above that cloud, sunshine. There's a layer that may darken you every once in a while, but there's a sun that's shining. If you just get yourself above the clouds, get up above the clouds. Listen, it's always shining. You say, no, it's dark. No, if you just keep following the sun, it just stays daylight all the way around the world. You just keep going with it. You just keep following the sunshine. And that's what we do now. We follow the sunlight of the Word of God. The gospel, what? Of your salvation. But let's don't be children anymore. Let's grow up with God. Let's grow up and get this thing, get us out of here. We got to get out of here. And it's okay, you know, we love each other, and that's okay. And that's fine, but could it be just filial love? We'll find out one day.
Yeah.
You'll find out one day if it was just filial love. Because agape love can stand correction. Agape love is a judge. Agape love is not some sloppy, like we think about it down here. No. It's far above, 10,000 times more than we've got here. Brother Branham, I love my wife. Well, I love my wife there. He said, you'll love the whole place 10,000 times more than you love. And we can't fathom that. I mean, Brother John, can you imagine loving Sister Alicia 10,000 times more than you do now? Well, you will. And you know what? You'll love me too. 10,000 times more. Boy, a lot of people, that's going to be hard for them to do. Everybody ready? All right, let's take it. Well, put my Bible up, and I'm not done yet. Good grief. Yeah, I said good grief. They call me Charlie Brown in Ohio because I say good grief all the time. I don't have a bald head yet, though. All right, you ready? In John. That's what I need is that wine. Yes, it will, as soon as I get finished coughing. And supper being ended, this is John 13, verse 2, if you want to follow along. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas his heart, in his soul. Because God wasn't there. Satan stepped in and did what he was going to do. All right? Put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. We're going to get back to that scripture right there when he says that he was come from God and he went to God. That's what your soul is now if you're born again. It didn't come from your mom and daddy. It came from God. And it's going back to God. Because it is God. If you're not, you know what? It's going to come from the devil and go back to the devil. One of the two. All right? But we'll get to that because you know what? That's what's going to shine when this thing starts. When we start going up the statue of perfect man, that's what's going to shine. That came from God. Your normal human self, contrary to God, did not come with that in it. You had to be born again. And by the new birth, he could form these virtues inside of you. So it came from God, and it's going back to God. All right? So we'll get to that later on, maybe in a couple more years. He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thank God he could see in the future. Peter, I see Satan sifting you as sand, so I prayed for you. He prayed for us too. John 17, he said, I pray for them, Lord, that I have chosen. That's us. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are not all clean. You are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? He's asking them a question. You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. See, that's the whole thing. If you don't wash feet, that means you're saying yourself, you've asserted yourself above the person that's standing, sitting there washing feet. That's why he said, you won't have no part with me because you've done put yourself way up here that you're better than that person washing feet. My. And that was God washing the people's feet. That was God. That wasn't a second person of a Trinity. That was God washing feet. God washed those dirty feet of those people. Knowing one of them was the devil. So, he also called Judas his friend, too. Yeah, remember in the garden, Judas? Friend, what are you doing here? Friend? If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy. Happy are you if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. For this time of communion, Lord, as we remember back even when we were singing the song that they raised you above earth and put you on a cross. And you hung there for hours for my sin. You had told them just a few days before that, or the day before that, that that was what was going to happen, and they didn't believe you. And you went ahead and gave them communion, washed their feet, told Judas to go do what he was supposed to do. But you had me on your mind. Me on your mind when you were on that cross. Lord, now, not that just I can see you on a cross, I see an empty cross. I see an empty tomb. But I see a soul that's filled with the Holy Ghost that used to be empty for years. Our soul, as the song says, was as black as night. But darkness has taken flight. We were sinners, Lord. And by your grace and my free moral agency come together that the Bible says heaven and earth has kissed. Lord, you brought down the Holy Ghost by representation and burn out that old nature and put you inside. Thank you, Lord. I hope we all realize that we are the luckiest people in the world. We're chosen, elected, that we are you made manifest on this earth again, Lord. And that we have now no limitations. Death has no dominion over us in the end time. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now. Take care of us in the furtherment of this service as we go to foot washing. That you'll bless each one, Lord, that's here. Lord, give us all a refilling of the Holy Ghost this week, Lord. That you'll touch us now. Be with Brother Luis this coming Wednesday night, Lord. That you'll touch his mind, Lord, and give us something from you, Father. Just bless each one now and be with the ones that are traveling on the highways, bringing the youth back. that, Lord, you'll protect them on the highways and give them, Lord, safe travel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Ladies, go downstairs.